There's two rules in the house. No, number one's no whiners. Number two, be kind. And that's it. And that's all we can ask for them. You know, all the things that we want them to be will stem from that.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's up, everybody? Art Eddy here for The Art of Fatherhood and online. I'm very happy to have Eric Burns. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Eric. How you doing, sir?
Art, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Doing really well, man. I can't wait to chat with you about fatherhood and, of course, baseball. But first, man, if people think of you as a baseball player, an analyst and all that, there's a lot of things that they need to understand about you, man. I love your documentary, Let Them Play, a triathlon across America. It premiered this month. You guys have some of the proceeds going to the Let Them Play COVID-19 Response Fund to help support the kids of essential workers, which I think is fantastic and well needed. So thank you for doing that. For those people who might have seen the trailer, and of course, we'll put up links to check out the trailer and purchase the movie. Talk to my audience about your film and the mission you set out for this, sir.
Art, a couple years ago, basically, my wife and I were putting our kids in school and we were trying to find a public school that had everyday PE. And we couldn't find it. And then we realized that 97% of public schools no longer have everyday physical education. So at that point, we put our kids in a private school, but we also realized that not everybody has the means to do that. Mm. And we, you know, pretty much made it our mission to go ahead and bring awareness to this first and foremost. And then after that, it's like, you know what? We sit here and we talk about it, and obviously we're complaining about no PE and everything, but at the same time, like, what are we doing about it? And so at that point, we decided, we're like, you know what? Let's create a foundation, call it Let Them Play, and really center it around youth activity. And we didn't want to fight the bureaucracy of public education, but at the same time, we're like, you know what? Let's do something. And our something was basically a kickoff event, which was a triathlon across the country. And we were going to use my unique background in baseball and endurance sports and connections as well to stop at different ballparks along the way and deliver grants to after-school youth activity programs and also physical education programs as well. 60% of kids do zero after-school youth activity. Kids are spending 7 to 9 hours a day on screens. And it's just, you know, I love to blame the kids, but I think the parents are just as much at fault as the kids are, because, you know, children have always been products of the environment in which we raise them. And so, you know, I think it's very easy for our generation to step back and be like, hey, man, kids don't get outside and play anymore, and they don't do this, they don't do that. Well, why the hell not? I mean, what are we doing to provide them that opportunity? So we're taking away PE, we're giving them screens, you know, they're playing video games at a rate which is just, I mean, astonishing. And so, again, you know, we did everything in our power, and that was just like kind of doing this epic event to raise a bunch of money and bring awareness and be able to hand those funds out to all these different organizations.
Eric, for you and your team, I applaud you for what you guys are doing, because it's phenomenal. Because for me, like, when you're talking about gym once a week or something, like, they have gym is now in mostly public schools and maybe private schools are called like specials, right? One day you might have tech, the other might you have music, the other one is like gym. And you're right, you don't do gym every day. And for me, like, elementary, middle school, high school, I remember having gym, and I felt like I agree with you, because it starts with the parents at home, because especially with the virus that's going on, everyone's staying home. While my kids have their, you know, virtual classes at 2 or 2:30, my kids and I are going out in the backyard and we're doing a half hour to maybe 40 minutes of gym, right? We're doing games, we're doing drills and all that stuff. I think you need to get, you know, kids active and all that. And I think what you guys are doing, like I said, is fantastic. We always wonder what our kids think of what we're doing and how we want to be good role models and examples for our kids. What did your kids talk to you about your triathlon across America? Because that's intense. What did they say when you kind of like talked to them about what you're looking to do? And after you finished it, what was the conversation like with you and your kids?
They were old enough to understand it. I think by nature, kids are very narcissistic. And so everything is about them. And I think it's our job to make them realize that there's things that are, you know, much bigger than us as individuals. And so I think that was the first time, really maybe in all three of their lives, that they were able to realize that the perfect way I want to spend the summer, I don't know if it was or wasn't. I think ultimately they'll look back upon it and be very grateful for the opportunity. But, you know, basically, you know, they were in a van and they were going from park to park to park to park and from motel to motel to motel to motel. They were forced and challenged to find different ways to stay active and play along the way. And then when we would go into these ballparks and they would be able to go on the field, and I'll use my son as an example. You know, at the time, I think he was six. And here he was, like, getting to throw out these first pitches. But being able to have the kids come down on the field with me and deliver the grant and deliver the check. There was a youth Latino soccer team in Sacramento that we gave no more than $1,000 to. And they got this check, and literally, like, the coach had tears in his eyes. Because he was so grateful for them to be able to go and buy new uniforms and new balls. And so when they got to see that, they realized that we were making a pretty big impact. And I think they embraced that. And they embraced, you know, the idea that, you know, the whole let them play thing. And, you know, even they would joke around. They're like, Daddy, but it's let them play. Let them play as they're doing one crazy thing after another. And they still do that.
Gotta love that, right? You gotta love that.
Yeah, you do. It's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I think at times maybe I can be a little hard on them, you know, especially with the current environment that we're in. I have a daily hustle list that I make them adhere to on a daily basis.
Nice.
Where it has a mile, 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups, 50 dopamine jumps, presidential report, an hour of free play outside where basically they're just locked outside and you got to figure out something to do. And so I think that, you know, just now, I think my oldest one's getting the concept of why we have a routine and why we stick to that routine and the benefits that she's able to receive and that they are able to receive from consistently getting that work done. And the thing is that they have this list that they have to do and they can't turn on anything until, like, not a single screen, computer, TV, whatever, until that entire list is done. And sometimes it takes them all day and sometimes they're done by noon. You know, regardless, I think it's really important for them to understand what that structure and activity can do for their lives.
100% agree. Like, I am very routine in my parenting, especially when it comes to right now, like, you know, doing the virtual classes, like I said, the gym stuff. So I might be taking some of that to-do list for that you give your kids and start doing something like that with my kids even more, man. I love that. The Let Them Play Foundation is all about making sure that kids play and move and are active, right? We just kind of talked about that, of course. And not just the kids, but it starts with the parents. And I know it's like, you know, just go out and run and all that. But, like, from all the experience that you have seen, and not just in your own family, but just in the many places and the many people you've interacted with, for parents listening to this, what are some proven methods that you found that work to encourage kids to be more active that parents can do?
Well, I think first and foremost, kids like games. And kids also like to be creative. And so we need to give them the freedom to do that. I think too often we try to micromanage situations. That's why the mile's a tough one for me every day. I mean, my oldest daughter gets it done, a fit, you know, now even she's even going, you know, she's 10, she goes 2, 3, 4 miles sometimes. But, you know, the other kid is like, they'll go run, we'll go on a hike and you know, we'll basically hike, you know, a mile and a half up the hill, you know, then snowboard down or ski down, and they won't complain once, right? It's just like we go on an adventure hike, they're not complaining once. When it's structured activity and it's just this is what you're doing, so whatever we can do to trick them into make him believe that, hey, look, this is how you're going to get it done. But I also think there's an element of them finally embracing that, okay, yes, part of this is work, but guess what? This work makes me feel good. Mm. And this work charges and energizes the rest of my day. And that's, you know, that's really what I want to do with the mile for them. Because when I was a kid and I was in sixth grade, and when I got to the sixth grade, I had severe ADHD, and every morning I had first period PE. And the first thing we would do is run a mile. Chris Miller, former Marine, was our PE teacher. From sixth grade on, that mile changed my life. And so what would happen, it's not just a physical thing, it's what it does to the brain mentally, which allows me, you know, all of us, to be able to focus. Even 20 minutes of moderate light activity will do the same sort of thing. So, you know, there's in the documentary that was just released, basically we feature a school in Pagosa Springs, Colorado, that implemented before school movement is what they call it. And zero period PE. And there's a teacher that gets up on top of the school, dresses in a Captain America costume, and does these exercises with the kids.
Yeah.
And it's like 10 minutes. It's nothing big at all. And the results that they've seen with their test scores,
yes,
have just gone through the roof.
Yep.
And so once schools realize the connection between the body and the brain, then we'll get our act together and at the very least have mandatory movement and activity within classrooms.
100% agree. If you keep their body and mind active at the same time, it can do wonders. Thanks, Eric, for kind of sharing your thoughts on that. And again, I just completely agree. So thank you very much. And for those who know you and who are fans of yours, they know your mentality is all in. At what age did you kind of put that mantra into effect on a daily basis? Of course, you know, there's certain days as kids, or, you know, as you find yourself in the end of high school and beginning of college, you kind of learn more about yourself. But for you, just again, not just, you know, in baseball, but of course with the Let Them Play Foundation, and of course people follow you on social media, they know that you're all in. But when did you kind of have that mindset and that mantra to go in effect on a daily basis?
Well, I think it's developed through our entire lives. I think I was fortunate to grow up with a mother and father that were very supportive in everything I did. They let me walk to the beat of my own drum as well, which I think having that autonomy, you know, was huge. And also allowed me to be able to, you know, discipline myself when I needed to. You know, when I got to college, we actually had a board that we would put up every day. We called the productivity chart, which later became known as the effort list. Hmm. And we put it up, and it was just all the stuff that we would do through the course of the day.
Yeah.
And it was a contest of like who could get the most stuff done. And ironically, I wrote a book a couple years ago, and I titled it The Effort List: Life Lessons from the Human Crash Test Dummy.
Yeah.
And you know, that was just part of the evolution. I think when I got, you know, then baseball was, I was very routine oriented all throughout the course of my career. And then when I got done, you know, I think like a lot of people going through a transitional state, I was a little lost. And that's at that point I found, you know, broadcasting and in the endurance world. And really through that, it's funny because the endurance world led to a lot of reading. If you'd asked me, like, look, you know, reading is knowledge, right?
Mm.
And I'm not to say that, sure, yes, it does matter what you read. But at the same time, it's like we got to constantly be feeding our brains and constantly be thinking to ourselves, how are we going to grow? You know, if I sit here and claim to, you know, be the omnipotent wizard with all the answers, I'm done growing. And if we're done growing, we're basically done living. So
yeah.
I think it's one of those things that, you know, we're constantly, you know, seeking that wisdom, which is, you know, the combination of experience and knowledge. So, you know, I've just continued and I've always tried to live my life by, you know, education and experience. Those are the two things my dad said that he could give me that nobody would ever be able to take away. So that's the same thing that I've tried to focus on, and also the same thing that I've tried to give my kids.
Nice, man. I appreciate the knowledge. And what you just said about your dad, about the two things that you can have in life, you mentioned that was also mentioned in one of the Let Them Play trailers, the documentary. And one of the other things I saw that you talked about, or just kind of video about yourself and the documentary, was your Major League Baseball debut was very scary for you. Of course, you know, you're going to the ultimate stage, the pro level, Major League Baseball, the best of the best are there. What do you remember most about, like, the first time you played in a Major League Baseball game, and when did those kind of nerves turn into just positivity and, like, yes, I got this and I can do this?
Well, I think all of that, you know, it starts with preparation. So, you know, if you're properly prepared for a test, then, you know, you go in there and sure, you're going to have some pre-test nerves, but once you actually get into taking the test, you know, everything calms down. So, you know, when I eventually was called up, August 22nd of 2000, I got there to Cleveland, and I was rushing into the game or into the stadium because I didn't get there until 6 o'clock. The game was at 7. The security was not letting me in because I didn't have a Major League ID. I was trying to call Mickey Morvito, who was our traveling secretary, and trying to get into the clubhouse that way. I couldn't get a hold of him. So eventually I get in there and I just like, I even meet my teammates, and you know, I'm dressed out in an A's uniform. I go out to the top step and I look around, and it's at Jacobs Field. It's sold out. You know, I think it was like a 400 and something consecutive sellout is when the Indians were in their absolute heyday. And I just kind of get a 360 and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And I could barely feel my feet, and I just said, screw it. And I ran out to center field as fast as I could and just kind of released the nerves that way, and then sprinted back. And I'm like, all right, I got this. And then got in the box and ended up hitting a single up the middle against Chuck Finley in my first at bat. And I think by the time I stepped in the box, everything slowed down. And the whole reason why, and you know, I trained my whole life for that moment, and I wasn't afraid of the moment. And the only thing I was, you know, afraid of, I think was actually, you know, getting to that point. And then once you're there, boom, you're like, I got this.
Nice.
This is what I know. This is what I do.
Fantastic, sir. I appreciate you sharing that. Again, as a comic book geek, I love the origin story of kind of like, you know, your Major League Baseball debut. So thanks for that. And one more question, and this might be tough or this might be hard to kind of answer. Maybe you have an answer right away, but was there a favorite season or time in your career at the Major League level, maybe just because of something you tried to accomplish or maybe something that you were looking to strive to achieve, or just in general, was there something, a season or just a moment that stands out of your career playing in the big leagues?
I mean, there's a few different times. I think, you know, I look back on my A's career and, you know, we had a good run, the Moneyball team, and winning 20 consecutive games, going to the playoffs, geez, seemingly every year with the A's, just about. With the Diamondback, 2007 was a special year where, you know, my role was a little bit different. I was more the, you know, one of the leaders on the team. And, you know, I was also an underdog sort of team that ended up winning the National League West. We won 90 games. And, you know, we had very little expectations going into that season. And so I think, you know, just surpassing them and, you know, individually, it was my best year. So that was a special time.
Nice. That's, appreciate you sharing that. Just a quick side note with the different teams you were on. Favorite jersey, and this doesn't mean that it was your favorite team, but did you have like, and maybe you guys don't care in the big leagues, but you can also see, especially like, you know, sometimes people are wearing throwbacks. I have some jerseys here and there, but was there a favorite design that you rocked during your career?
The A's yellow throwbacks.
Oh, nice.
We're by far and away my favorite. Yeah, no, they're awesome.
Nice, man. Take me back when you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time, Eric. What was going through your mind?
Oh, I was freaked out. Yeah, very unexpected. You know, also looking back on it now, like, geez, probably one of the greatest days of my life. At the time, I was freaked out, though. So it was just trying to conceptualize, you know, what exactly fatherhood meant. And the beautiful thing is that I had no idea then, and it's been an incredible journey.
Nice, man. Appreciate that. And we were talking about the Let Them Play doc and just, of course, everything that you do and, you know, that to-do list that you give your kids and all that. They see determination. They see grit from you. But what are some of the other values you and your wife look to instill into your children as they're growing up?
Oh, man, there's two rules in the house. Number one, no whiners. Mm. Number two, be kind. And that's it. And that's all we can ask for them. I feel like everything else, if they're not whining, they're kind. You know, all the things that we want them to be will stem from that.
For sure. Everything will fall into place when you get those two locked in. Love that. And lastly, what is one big piece of advice you'd offer to new dads?
Enjoy the process. Mm. Because it's, you know, I mean, every no 2 days are the same. And the kids are obviously constantly growing up. But, you know, enjoy every stage. Enjoy every moment. Appreciate it for what it's worth. And, you know, I think there's elements that was like, man, I wish they could stay at five. And you know, then at the same time, it's like, no. Like, the beauty of life is change. The beauty of life is the ability to watch and embrace all the different ages as, you know, you're watching this miracle happen in front of you.
Love it. Well said, man. And now we got the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie in the Burns household is what?
Oh, Star Wars.
Nice! Well done, sir. You're speaking to a Star Wars geek, so I love that answer. Favorite song or artist you couldn't wait to share your kids with?
I would say Garth Brooks.
Oh, nice. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Let's go on a motorhome across the country.
Nice. You know about going across the country, sir. We all know that, especially when you're doing triathlon.
Exactly.
Nice. Okay, and also, too, another awesome fact about you. This is great. You set the new Guinness Book of World Record for the most holes in golf in a single day. 420 holes. Do you have another record on your sights that you want to go for, or do you not want to say anything until you actually accomplish it?
I've eyeballed a couple.
Okay.
I you know, it's tough to make that commitment.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, there's one that's really interesting. There's a real interesting treadmill one that I'm looking at, and I'm not gonna get into too much detail about it.
Gotcha.
But let's just say it involves a treadmill.
I think for some reason you're the only one that probably can pull that one off. Awesome. And lastly, what are the top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad?
Wow. Huh. Authentic, kind, and relentless.
Nice. Very cool. People, make sure you follow Eric on Twitter at Burns22 and also go to his foundation's website at letthemplayfoundation.org and pick up and purchase. They have digital copies, of course, of the Let Them Play Triathlon Across America. Some of the proceeds go to the Let Them Play COVID-19 Response Fund to help support kids of essential workers. Eric, thank you so much for your time. And also thank you for your message of, you know, just getting the kids active, because I think we need more of that. And again, appreciate your take on fatherhood and continued success in the future, sir.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you having me on. And I think it's a really cool thing that you're doing with the, you know, very dad-oriented podcast. I think we all need a little more of that in our lives.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. You take care.
All right. Thank you. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.